Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Oh, and fresh off the Anzac round, it is a pleasure to be back here talking some footy with you, MG. How are you, sir?
Fantastic, my man. Great to be back and great to see your face. And what a round of footy we just saw in Anzac round. Man, just for those tippers out there who are doing it hard, you're not alone. I'm ass pie this year as far as my tipping goes. Usually I'm pretty good, but nah, not this year. I am crap.
Oh, Mark, ass pie guy. There you go. We'll get that pluck made up. Now, the big story as we woke today is the news that Jason Demetriou has been, speaking of given the arse, by the Bunnies. The decision was made at a board meeting last night. In fact, here is the Bunnies CEO, Blake Solly, on the decision.
Blake, 2 weeks ago you considered sacking JD. You didn't do it. You play one game against Melbourne, albeit a poor performance.
Yep.
But it was one game. Why did it change so dramatically after one game?
I think our view was that the one game was indicative of probably an inability to turn it around, and that we needed to make a quick decision. Unfortunately, we didn't think that Jason's coaching style would be able to get the change we needed or the improvement we needed, and given that we sit at 17th of the table and our for and against is 50 points worse than 16th, I think now is the time to make the change, and unfortunately the change had to be Jason. In our view, we just felt that the style of play and probably Jason's management of the players needed to change, and that's no criticism of his work ethic or how hard or how much effort he's put in, but we just felt that we needed a change in management. Results over the last 12 months haven't been good enough for a club of our stature, and whilst it's no criticism of Jason how hard he works, the last 20 games sort of speak for themselves, and for his agent to say that he's been treated shabbily in the context of a year's worth of patience and support, I think is unfair.
Yeah, look, I agree with everything that he's had to say. I just don't agree with the last part of that where the agent, and that's Chris Orr, or Gavin Orr, one of the Orr brothers of, who managed Demetriou, has come out today and said it was quite cruel in the way it's been done, and I kind of agree. You know, I don't think, I can't remember a coach in modern time who's been sacked, who's gone through two board meetings in the one day, then faced the waiting media throng on his coming out. It was just kind of, I thought he deserved a little bit better than that. We did know a month ago that he was gone. We said it here. Basically, in coaching terms, a dead man walking. And I think if they made the clean cut then, we wouldn't see the aftermath of probably, I think a lot of people are thinking that Jason Demetriou has been sorely done. But as Solly said then, you look at their performances, and it's not the South Sydney that we've grown to love and know. They're sitting last on the competition after leading the competition after last year's Magic Round. They were first. So in the space of that amount of time, in almost about 11 months, they've gone to stone motherless last. And so I suppose questions had to be asked, Liam.
I like Blake Solly. I'm with you, MG. I liked what Blake Solly said and the way he delivered it to a point. I like that he was strong about the expectations of the club. I don't like this idea of coaches coaching for their career and job over a weekend, and the right. idea that was the straw that broke the camel's back. No, you'd made your mind up, and that's okay. That's okay. This is a business, and South Sydney, like all the clubs in the team, is about winning. To that point as well, what you're saying there, MG, is that it's also when you look at the talent that is on this South Sydney team, for what they're delivering, when you consider that Cody Walker and, you know, Damien Cook, and while he might not be the Damien Cook of old, he's still a quality representative player. And obviously Latrell and Jack Whiten's there now. The quality on this team isn't represented in their position on the ladder. And if they've decided Jason Demetriou isn't the man who can get the best out of it, so be it, we move on.
I've got probably the feeling that they were treading water until they can confirm Wayne Bennett's arrival.
This would suggest, the way they've handled it would suggest that they were trying to get their ducks in a row behind the scenes. So do you buy into this Wayne Bennett theory?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think that Ben Hornby will be the caretaker. They brought in David Ferner as an assistant coach a couple of weeks ago. In hindsight, they should have probably brought him in a month ago once they lost the caliber of Sam Burgess and John Morris as assistant coaches. So It's a team effort these days, and you need more than just the coach to coach these rugby league teams. They're a full-time job, and you need guys going over video. You need guys going over different stuff so you can employ your weakness, so to speak.
Mm.
But he's been on his own, and they brought Ferner in a couple of weeks ago. I don't buy the Storm game. I think who's going down to Melbourne when they're full strength, when your team's struggling and taking away the points? I mean, they're never going to get – the fact that they've got 50 points put on, I'd probably look at it and go, well, that means that the effort quite wasn't there in defence. But, look, yeah, I think Wayne Bennett will be their coach. I think it's a fait accompli. Ben Hornby, he might go good for the rest of the season, but I don't think that'll worry because – or that will matter because – after this Penrith game tomorrow night, their draw becomes relatively easier, and Latrell will be back, and you probably can say as well, you can hypothesise that maybe they're thinking, well, we've made the right decision because look, we just won three or four in a row,
And that's not fair on Jason Demetriou.
That's right.
I hope any Souths fans that are listening to this don't look at the record from here from this point forward, and go see Jason Demetriou was crap. Because that's not fair. And look, if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But to, you know, players, I mean, MG, you've been at clubs when there's been a change at the top and there's a lightness to you. Suddenly you're playing with house money to a degree.
Yeah. That's what worries me about tomorrow night's game against the Panthers. I think, there's a record. I don't know what the record is, but Tone, our producer, might find it while we're chatting about first-time coaches having a win in their first performance, because you're right, Liam, you're exactly right. The players feel the stress. No matter whether you like, love, or hate Jason Demetriou as a Rabbitohs player, there's once this decision has been made that you see coming for like the last 4 to 5 weeks, there's a big, let's exhale exactly. Now. Let's exhale and it's back to what we know how to do, and that's play footy. And they find themselves up at Acor Stadium tomorrow night in a pretty good benchmark against the Panthers. And, yeah, look, it's
pretty
it's
good
sad.
Benchmark.
Would you have said, look, this is the unbelievable thing, but I think I had Rabbitohs, and I'm not sure where I had them. I think I had them in my top four, maybe at the start of the season. I know I had the Panthers playing the Roosters, I think, in the grand final. But I didn't have them. On my bingo card wasn't Jason Demetriou being the first coach sacked. That's what I did not see that coming.
I had a look back over the sort of the mid-season sackings of years gone by. And this is probably the most surprising one since Seibold was resold out of the Broncos in the fashion that he was, because the talent that they had, the manner in which Wayne Bennett had left them, he hadn't left it like Newcastle. This is a team that was expected to contend, and now Jason Demetriou's probably taking a day to compose himself and figure out next steps. Just quickly, before we move on from this, because we don't want to spend all day, two other points I wanted to address. A, the fact that Buzz Rothfield learned about this, and Wade Graham pointed this out on NRL 360 last night, that Buzz Rothfield got the text that this had been done while the board meeting was happening. Wow. Blows my mind.
Yeah.
And it probably speaks to, what a great journalist Buzz Rothfield is and the connections he's got, but it also speaks to where that club might be at more broadly. Yep. And secondly, the fact that I've already been sent, and I don't know how this has made its way to me or how this made its way out of the group, allegedly, a message that Jason Demetriou sent to the playing group after he's been sacked.
Yeah, that was in the Sydney papers this morning. And the fact that we're also hearing that Russell Crowe sent a message to Jason Demetriou before the second board meeting yesterday saying that I've got your back. So at the moment, we're confused. The South Sydney players are confused. I think if you look at the oversight, and it's like, I think I forget his name, Cannon, the billionaire, who's bought half of the
Oh,
Roosters.
Cannon Brooks, yeah, the other bloke that owns half the club.
I think he's got a lot more clout than people think at the moment. He's got one of his people on the board,
right?
Who, by all accounts, she's a mad Rabbitohs fan, but she loves them, and she's, I don't know whether she's a fan of Russell or not, but Russell used to say, snap my fingers and get it done. But he seems to have lost that ability to have the power that he once wielded. And I think Souths are poorer for it, because when he was in charge, we didn't see the team languishing like this.
Mm.
So they've got, as always, you've got to fix the top end of any organisation before mm-hmm. the bottom end of it starts to realise what's going on. So will we see some changes? I don't know. But all I do know is that South Sydney have made that decision, and Wayne Bennett, I would bet my granny flat, not my house, my granny flat, on him being the
I like your granny flat, actually. I'll take that bet.
My oldest bloke, Logan's in it, so he won't be too keen on hearing that. So, I think he'll be the Rabbitohs coach next year for sure, because he has worked with Ben Hornby before. Obviously,
yes.
He's worked with Jason Demetrio as well for mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years at South, but he has worked with Ben Hornby as well. So the association is there. He's up on contract. He's 74 years of age. This will be his last contract, you would imagine. So probably 3 or 4 year contract and finish in Sydney.
And one thing you can guarantee is that when he gets asked about it for the first time, he'll say, I've had no contact with the club.
Yeah,
and he won't be lying because someone will have spoken to the club on his behalf. So, All right. Hey, let's move on. Thoughts with Jason Demetrio. We never like to see coaches get the arse. It's an unfair business, but it is the reality of the business of rugby league. The conversation over the weekend, MG, obviously we saw the Moses Sully incident on Anzac Day, knocked out from the kickoff return. This notion, this theory about potentially banning the kickoff, thoughts?
I lived and breathed by the shoulder charge when I played. I got plenty put on me, and I put plenty on people in games. And I, for the life of me, never thought we'd see the end of it. We were poorer for it. I thought we were going to be poorer for it when we got rid of the shoulder charge, but we're not. We haven't missed it. Shoulder charges happen but every 2 or 3 tackles in every set of 6. A kickoff happens maybe, I don't know, on average four times a game. We see hit like Sully's maybe twice a year. I think it's a major overreaction. I think one of the real showcases of our game is the kickoff and off the back fence, as they say it. Look at the techniques of the Dragons players who tried to take on Jared Weir Hargraves all around the ball. Not one person went for the waist or the legs. And we would have seen a different result. No, there's no way we'll ever see them get rid of the long kickoff. I hope not anyway, because I think it's one of the reasons I love the first 5 minutes of State of Origin. I think it's everyone sits on the edge of their seat in State of Origin. And I think everyone sits on the edge of their feet in the first couple of minutes of a game to see something like we saw. Obviously not the injury to Sully, because we don't ever want to see that. But that confrontation, that's what sets the standard of a game. That's what sets the tone of a game when you get your big beasts from your side running in against their big beasts, and that sets the tone. And unfortunately for Moses Sully, the technique was all over the shop. In fact, if you watch it closely, it looked like Jaden Sewer even maybe catapulted him into the awaiting Jared Warwick Hargraves' forearm. So, no, I don't think we'll ever see it, and I don't want to see it. The short dropout shits me enough.
We talked about this on the show earlier this week on Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo, and I argued that, and I'll give you my top three, MG, I argue that the first hit up of Game 1 of State of Origin every year is one of the top 3 moments in Aussie sport each year. And no order, but the top 3 are the first hit up in State of Origin, Game 1, the moment silence before Anzac Day between Collingwood and Essendon at the MCG, and the first bowl of the Boxing Day Test. First delivery. They are, and not to say they're the best overall sporting fixtures, but those individual moments.
Hard to beat.
Yep. You can't take your eyes off them. So I don't know what Origin would still be amazing without the kickoff, but it wouldn't be the same. So I'm with you. Right. Let's talk about these Sharkies.
Yes.
Because they're sitting top of the pops.
They are.
Them and the Storm, both with 6 wins and 1 loss. Do you believe in the boys from the Shire?
This year I do. Yeah, this year I believe in them. Even though a lot of pointing out their less than hard draw that they've started the season with, and if you quickly run through who they've played and give us the results.
So the Sharkies, this is they're sitting top of the pops at the moment, and their wins thus far have come against the Warriors, the Dogs, they lost to the Tigers. That's their only loss of the season. That one was at Leichhardt Oval. And then they've also beaten the Raiders. They've had their bye. They've beaten the Bunnies. They've beaten the Cowboys. And then they flogged the Raiders again over the weekend.
Yeah, so you'd say that's kind of a 6 out of 10 as far as intensity goes for their opening of their draws. But you can only beat who's in front of you.
Mm.
They've got their next games are interesting. They've got Dragons this weekend, who kind of Shane Flanagan's lit the fuse on this one. This will be a good one. Talking about who's going to take the kickoff, this will be a fantastic one to see. Then they've got the Storm away. They've got the Roosters at Magic Round. They've got the Panthers at home. Then they've got the Eels as well. So the next 5 weeks, we'll see whether they are the real deal or not. I think they are. I think out of them five or six games, they'll win half. I think the reason they are the real deal, because they look a lot fitter. Guys like Jesse Ramian, who's looking so much fitter than he has in Talakai, has trimmed down.
Talakai looks fitter.
Tom Hazleton's come from nowhere to be this young kid who's just playing with a lot of enthusiasm. And Brayley, young Iroh, who's been playing, you know, he had 2 years of New South Wales Cup and just couldn't wait to get his chance. And now he's, so they've got stories all over there, all over the field. But of course, the linchpin is Nicho Hynes. And he can, his kicking game is just so astute. He just seems to have so much time when he's kicking a football that, and their wingers, they can finish from anywhere. So I do believe they are the real deal this year. I think they're going to be in the top four, and the Sharkies. And from there, you can win the competition.
And when you look at Craig Fitzgibbon's decision to hold off until this Sharks coaching opportunity came his way, because he was being courted from everywhere. The Dragons were chasing him hard, and the Roosters didn't want to let him go.
Yep.
And now in what is
it's his
he,
team now, he, Liam. It's his team now. You can see he played exactly like the Sharkies are playing now. Mm. It's the rolly sleeves up. He was nothing fancy. He'd get through 35, 40 tackles. He'd do 20 hit-ups. And you'd always, every team in the competition wish they had a Craig Fitzgibbon. And now he's got 13 of them playing for him. So they're definitely the real deal.
And this is year three of him in charge. And when you consider what Jason Demetriou has just been given the Risso in year one and a half, it's sort of like you almost want coaches to be given those 2 years to build the team in their image. But we are where we are. So you believe in the Sharkies. Just quickly, you mentioned Nicho Hynes. We're coming up on Origin, and he's going to be thrown into the mix. Is there room for him in this New South Wales side under Madge McGuire?
I think on current form, you've got to have him somewhere in the 17. I think it's out of him and Jerome Luai for number six. Obviously, Jerome Luai gets the nod because it's with Nathan Cleary. And I think Jerome's form has been great in the last two or three weeks. It's obviously got three or four games now to prove that he wants to play number six for New South Wales. But if it's not Jerome, then it will be Nicho. If it is Jerome, I think Nicho will be number 14 because he can come on and play somewhere in the back line. He can play most spots in the back line. I just think his form, he's leading the Dally M's at the moment. His form is irresistible, and sometimes you've got to reward that with a blue jersey. And after speaking with Madge McGuire about a month ago about what the blue jersey means to certain people, and I think the blue jersey to Nicho Hynes would be an emotional thing for him. That's who you want in Origin. Even Cam McGuinness to another degree. Cam McGuinness is an Origin player. Yeah, like I'd find a spot for him somewhere. I don't know where, but just the way he just keeps
got a head for Origin.
He could be our Ruben Cotter. You know, he just doesn't stop. He just keeps playing. He's just. But anyway, whatever we come up with, I know that Major McGuire will be. He'll dial down and he wanted these players, and that's why we go through the thing at the moment with Luttrell. Like Luttrell comes out and says, I might not make myself available for State of Origin. Well, straight away I'd say if I was Major McGuire, you know what? That's fine. That's your prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
At least we know where we stand. But guess what player I'd hate to see opposing me if I'm Queensland?
Latrell Mitchell. Yeah.
So that's the conundrum. I mean, but again, yesterday we saw this on the back page, or the day before on the back page, and Queensland are sitting up there going, yeah, how good's this? They're talking about selections already. it's just, you would know. It's down here, the media beast is just rampant. The media beast compared to the Queensland beast is so rampant. We've got 10 teams to write about. We've got, up there you've got two teams and Cowboys and three teams plus the Cowboys. It's a lot different beasts. Explain the difference in the media compared to Queensland versus New South Wales.
MG, I was down in Sydney for basically 10 years and working closely around rugby league, behind the scenes, then with our show. New South Wales media eats its own. There is no loyalty to the Blues side from a media perspective. It eats its own. And to some extent, you got to tip your cap to that because they're doing their job, right? There is no bias. There's the occasional witty headline, but for the most part, they eat their own. In Queensland, now I'm convinced, I've had this conspiracy theory for a while, I'm convinced that before each State of Origin series, an email is sent around to the Fogs, the former Origin greats, and they are giving dot points. I'm convinced that they are given dot points.
Yeah, it is.
The same hymn sheet that they sing from. Because
ever since when Mao became coach, we started to see straight away the likes of Trevor Gilmeister and Fatty Vorton all saying that we're underdogs. This team is, you know, we're ragtag. Like it.
With Cam Smith and Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk and GI. And not only did they reinforce the underdog tag, but all those Queenslanders who work in the media never question selection. There's never, you never hear Gordon Tallis, you know, really teeing off on a choice that the coach has made, whether it be Kevy or Mao or Billy now.
I said on this podcast 3 weeks ago, well, 2 weeks ago when you weren't here with us, I said the same thing to Anthony Maroon. I said, this year I'm doing the same as the Queensland ex-players do. I'm starting it. If you want to come with me, come with me.
Let's go.
I'm sick to death of us picking a team and everyone's finding holes in it and saying, why isn't he there? And Freddie went through it and Brandy went through it and Laurie Daly went through it and we've all gone through it. Let's stop it. That's like we're in the media. We are part of New South Wales media. We want our team to win. Mm. Why should we pick on it as much as we do? I don't understand it. I don't get the rationale.
I'm convinced Gordian and Shane Webke stand at the editor's desk of the Courier Mail too and basically sign off on the back pages during Origin period.
It's ridiculous.
Webby does read the sports news. he true. Does get the final say on how it's reported. But, look, it's, you know, we're getting to that time of year. I can't wait to get stuck into the Origin. Quickly, MG, we are going to get to the tips, but I just want to hit you with some, you played on instinct in your career. I want to hit you with some questions. Just give me your instinctive answer. First response, best response. You ready?
Okay, yep.
Which teams impressed you most to this point of the season?
I will say the Sharks have, Melbourne have. I think Melbourne. Melbourne have bounced back beautifully. Melbourne with a big three, the first time the big three, Pappenhausen. The big four, sorry, Pappenhausen, the two halves in Munster and Hughes and Harry Grant, have been on the same paddock for as long as I have. They're the danger of the Panthers and Broncos this year, I think.
Which players, you can throw a couple in, have impressed you most to this point of the year?
Zach Lomax has come from nowhere to be looking like he will find a spot in the wing for New South Wales, and Dylan Edwards, who's been phenomenal. Just play any better. He just cannot play any better. And if he doesn't get picked... You're going to say it's generational, but you know he's one of them players who you'd think, wow, he'd never play if he didn't play get picked for Origin next couple of years. He didn't play one Origin. That's a shock because look at his figures.
Well, he cracked the Kangaroos at the end of the year
wing,
as well. He keeps renovating his ceiling. He keeps on if you'd said 5 years ago when he was the king of the underrated players that he was capable of being here, we would have said, oh, that's a bit much. But now he just keeps on going. We're going to go like a Winx horse race where we exclude the favourite. Aside from South Sydney, which team are you most concerned about?
Parramatta. Parramatta, I think. I don't see where their wins are coming from, especially now that Moses and Gutherson are out. Their juniors aren't going that well. Their New South Wales Cup had one of their first win on the weekend. Parramatta.
Biggest issue facing the game, 8 rounds in?
Definitely the bunker and their involvement in the game, and Graham Annesley every Monday coming out saying that they got that one wrong. We're seeing it every weekend now. We used to see it once every 6 months that a team was dudded, but now we're seeing it every weekend, and it's enough's enough. Oh, I think that some of the I saw one the other week that the try got disallowed, and he said, no, we're going back to the forward pass. I said, what? We're going back to the forward pass? Well, since when have we been ruling on forward passes from a bunker? Pressure's on them, but they've got the facility to get it right. Well, our touch judges, there was a couple of weeks ago of young Chevy Stewart who against the Titans, who was 5 metres in front against the Titans, and touch judges right there on the line. I don't know what he or she is looking at. That would have been an instant to say offside penalty, you lose the game. But I think the bunker and seeing it hidden from. The obstacles that it should shouldn't be hidden from, which is the blatant mistakes that they're making, it shouldn't be happening.
Can I just make a quick suggestion to the NRL on how you fix that? I think we get Graham Annesley put him in. No, we give him a PowerPoint class. We just improve his get some of the fade wipes and the star wipes on his presentations. Just spice it up a little bit. Or
we'll do a Zoom.
Call me crazy. Let Graham Annesley be the brains behind the presenter. We need to get someone with a bit more pizzazz in there on a Monday morning, because poor old Graham, I think he's sick of doing them. I know it's his job. Look, but...
You know what, Graham Annesley, one of the best blokes you'll ever meet. Honestly, he's used to be a referee. He used to be like, he was a great ref. He's a great administrator. He'd hate doing that.
He would hate doing that. You know who'd bloody love morning. Doing that? Grant Denyer. Let's get Grant a job with the NRL on a Monday morning. Jazz it up, deal or no deal style. He can cross promote.
I love it.
There's an opportunity here. Round 7 tips. Let's rattle them, MG. The Rabbitohs, we've spoken at length about where they're at. Ben Hornby in charge in the coach's box this Thursday night against your Panthers. Taruva back in the side, which is huge.
Yeah, and Leota back in for Penrith. And little MG on the bench who's paying $6 for any time try scorer. So let's go to the Panthers.
Hey, mate, just quickly, can we get a little MG update?
Yeah,
how is he?
Yeah, he's great. He obviously made his debut against the Roosters, and then last week went to the Cowboys when Sorrow got ruled out and played 25 minutes, and this week held his spot on the bench and for tomorrow night's game against the Rabbitohs. So he's doing good, mate. He's just underselling it.
He's going so good, they're prepared to let James Fisher-Harris go.
Far out. I do not endorse the comments there by Liam Flanagan.
This is what I mean with the New South Wales media. Tomorrow, Daily Telegraph.
Yes.
Mav Gaia, reason. Panthers, let go of Fish.
Oh.
All right. Tipping the Panthers. Friday, the Daily Teflon Cherry Evans and his Seagulls take on the Raiders. Just quickly on Dinner Suit Daily, he doesn't really play in a dinner suit, but to go through his career and to have never copped a suspension is insane.
It is honourable, I would say, because he's a best and fairest every time he plays. He's very good on the field. I'm glad he got off this because he's Manly are in fourth position, and we haven't seen the best of Tommy Turbo this year. That's a bit scary for mine. They are without their best forward, but Olakau'atu. The Raiders are rattled at the moment. They've got injury after injury. They do get a couple back. I think young Hopewadi's back to fullback, and Elliot Whitehead comes back in, but I can't see anything but a Manly victory in this one.
Daly Chervins is 35. What's he up to games? He's 313.
He'll play till he's 40.
I think he can.
He'll be the first player we see in first grade at 40.
Daly, and I'm sure you'll have other offers. I'd love to write your book. I'd love to read your book. His autobiography, I was thinking about this before we recorded today, MG. Not only do you have the amazing start to his career, grand finals, Churchill in a losing grand final, you've got all the on-field stuff and the players he got, he was still there when both the Stewart boys were there and Jamie Lyon. He kind of traversed the generations at Manly.
But then you've got
the whole Gold Coast Titans backflip. That's this narrative in itself. We've got the Jackson Hastings punching a hole in a wall story that I'd love to hear the full. His is a really interesting career.
Being left out of the kind of the in-group and the State of Origin camp. And then
becoming the Queensland leader that captain. He is.
That's unbelievable. What a metamorphosis.
I would love to read that book. Then the second Friday night game, the Broncos hosting the Roosters. This is the first time these two teams will meet since the round one Spencer Linu Ezra Mam incident in Las Vegas. And off the back of the retirement midweek of their champion little halfback or 5'8", Luke Keary.
Surely he must be close to being back in the field, Spencer Linu, yeah? His ban runs out next week.
I think the NRL made a calculated decision not to have this be the game he returns for.
Very smart. No, he's really not silly. I think this is the match of the round. Both coming off comprehensive victories last weekend, both very dominant in both their performances. I think the Broncos, because it's at home, if this was at Allianz, I would say that the Roosters might be favoured, but I think the Broncos up there are hard to beat. Broncos for mine.
And then we get to Saturday with the Bulldogs, who just quietly under Mr. Seraldo, just doing their business. Meanwhile, part-time Benji, poor old West Tigers. Who do you like here?
I like Bulldogs, who are the most improved team in this year's competition. I think with Dragons, you can throw them in the same bank. So throw them in the same bank. That doesn't make sense.
I know what you mean, though, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think that definitely. I think the Bulldogs will win this one and probably win it well.
Oh, Stephen Crichton, what a leader. Chance for a captain of the year nod. Saturday on the coast.
Saturday, Titans and Storm.
Yeah, thanks. What do you think?
I think Storm
they won last week, just quietly. Titans with a win. 24.
Storm by 24 points.
24 points? That's Cam Munster's 200th as well.
Yeah, that's why. Look, the Titans were great last week, I think. They were really good against Warriors over there. Like the Warriors, wow, they're probably the most disappointing team in the competition so far.
Titans beat the Storm at Cbus last year.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a lot closer, honestly. It's not 24 points. I think this is going to be a closer game than thing. I think we're starting to see the magic of Desi Hasler rubbing off onto the Titans, and I like what I see. You know, to win that game last week in over there in New Zealand, look, AJ Brimson fullback, that's his spot. That's where he's best. That's where he played for Queensland. That's where you manufacture something else for young Campbell. You know, make him a half, six or seven. You know, I think seven. I think seven with his ball. I think he'd be great at number seven. But anyway, look, Storm by maybe 6 or 8 points.
Okay. And to going back to the Craig Fitzgibbon point, MG, it's taken Fitzy 2 years to get the Sharks playing his style of football form, and Dez has been there for 8 rounds, so and a preseason. Cowboys, Dolphins, the old Queensland affair. This one at Queensland Country Bank Stadium in Townsville. The Cowboys, both these teams are in need of a win, and Felice comes back from the old man calf injury.
Yeah, even though after losing last week to the Newcastle Knights, which no one saw coming, the Dolphins still sit in sixth position. Look, Cowboys lost three in a row and now sit outside the eight after leading the competition for the early part of the season. That game last week against Penrith, they were tough. If they were playing anybody but Penrith or maybe Melbourne or Brisbane, they would have won that game and they would have won it comfortably. But they need this one, and I think they'll get it. I think the Cowboys will win against the Dolphins.
This is a proper wacky competition. I think this game shows just how wacky the season has been thus far, because you've got the Knights taking on the Warriors, and I feel like we've been positive about these two teams so far this season, and yet it's 13th v 12th.
I don't know who will win this game. I really don't know. I've got no idea. It's up in Newcastle. Newcastle last week against Dolphins without Ponga were fantastic. What's this young guy's name, this young fullback? Dave Armstrong.
Look, Dave Armstrong, a debut.
Almost first touch try. The Warriors need this. The Warriors are backpedaling quickly, and after leading 12-0 against Titans last week, they capitulated big time, and they're the team I'm worried about most in this competition, because after you go, it's kind of the timeline has been since they've learnt about the James Fisher-Harris arrival, they've kind of taken their foot off the pedal and go, you know what, James will do it for us. Well, no, that's next year, boys. It's not this year, it's next year. And then, you know, if I had to pick someone, I'm going to pick the Warriors.
Picking the Warriors. Well, Kurt Capewell back in the side, and I know he's not the game breaker, but he is an experienced, settled head who, as you say, might come in and just blow the cobwebs out of that forward pack in particular. Then we get to Sunday. We're already on Sunday, but the final game of the round, we got it's the Battle of the Southern Beaches. We got Sharks taking on Dragons. There's so many storylines here. Obviously, we've spoken at length about what the Sharkies are doing, but you cannot deny that Shane Flanagan has improved things at St George Illawarra, and now he comes up against the team he coached to the Premiership.
Well, without a doubt, he's been a big improvement because of the fact that they all look fit again. We said that earlier about the Sharkies. They're noticeable. Teams are noticeable, and they've had a really good off-season. You know, Penrith always look fit. Broncos always look fit. Melbourne always look fit. And that's why they've been the barometer for so long. Roosters are always fit. But these guys in particular, Sharks and the Dragons, are the other two teams that have stuck out like mud, that they are fit as bulls. This game is obviously Sharkies are favoured. It would not surprise me if the Sharkies got beaten by the Dragons, but I don't think it will happen. I think the Sharkies will win. I think they won their last two games by 40 points. They will not win this game by 40 points. This will be a close one.
You've always said, MG, you can judge how well a team's going by how strong their bench looks.
Yes.
Sharkies, Jack William, Talakai, Rudolph comes back onto the bench this week, and Hamlin Uele.
Yep. And look at the guys who can't make the team. Hirotti, Royce Hunt, Billy Burns, Samuel Stonestreet, who had a fantastic debut. And it's going to be a great game Sunday. I hope it's good weather because they're predicting rain all weekend. That's going to throw something else in the mix. So Yep, let's go.
All right, MG's tips for round 7. Panthers over the Bunnies. He's tipping Manly to beat Canberra. The Bronx to get it done over the Roosters. Bulldogs to beat Tigers. Storm to beat Titans. Cows to beat the Finns. The Warriors in the close one against the Knights. And the Sharkies to beat the Dragons. There are your round 7 tips. Best of luck to everybody, MG. A pleasure to be back. And from a personal note, mate, I want to say with everything I've been through the last couple of weeks, thank you so much for your support. We've spoken a couple of times and I've really appreciated it, mate. So it's wonderful to be back at work with you.
Love you, my man.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.